Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
So today we're going to discuss what you can do if you find yourself caught in the role of the office hero. Mm. Our question comes from someone who works at an agency where the boss constantly leans on her to cover for him and run the office, even though there were several other people who could pitch in.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that definitely sounds like someone playing the hero at work.
Yeah.
I hope our listeners will send more questions like this to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
All right, Logan, let's just go to our question.
I work for a human service organization as one of three program officers, and I'm having a problem involving my boss and my colleagues. There are two other program officers, but every time the boss is late or absent or needs something, he always asks me to handle it. I don't mind stepping in at times, but it's beginning to bother me that I'm the only one who is held responsible for the agency's operations when the boss is away. The other day, I had to cancel a doctor's appointment because the other program officers were both delayed getting to the office. I don't want to sound like a complainer, and I could take it as flattering that he trusts me, but I'd like to have the option to say no and have other people step in. What do I do?
I'd ask for a promotion and a raise. That's what I think.
That's
come with
great.
The list of things
ask
that you've been doing.
Ask to become deputy director.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's clear. And, you know, many times if you're the hero, which this person is, mm-hmm. other people will let you be the hero.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. They'll say, oh, well, this so-and-so is always going to be there. Right. I don't have to worry. And, you know, if that's the way you like to work, because I would never suggest this person become a slacker or work less intensely. I think this person is on a fast track up.
Right. Right.
I would suggest, you know, go to the boss and say, I covered for you 45 out of 60 days or whatever the numbers are. I'm making that up. It may not be that extreme.
Right.
Yeah.
And I've taken on a lot of responsibility. And unless you don't want me to, I would like a different title and potentially a raise. Because, mm-hmm. I think you're in a position to do that with the facts.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And there may not be a raise for you. It may not happen.
Or a promotion, yeah.
And then you have to make another decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you could also, if that's not what you want, then you can just say to your manager, I understand why you come to me and you always want me to cover, but there are other people here that are taking advantage of that. Mm-hmm. So why don't you share that wealth? Why don't you ask other people to cover and I'll support them, but I don't always want to be the only one.
Yeah.
See, I would take that idea and make it like suggest, why don't we set up a system for covering when the boss is away and really formalize it where you can figure out in some way who gets assigned what if for some reason the boss can't be there. Because I think that that's, you're absolutely right. When it's loose and informal, the boss obviously knows to lean on this person because
that's his go-to.
That's right.
Right.
And they've proven that they'll do it every time.
Yeah, they're always there.
They've never said no. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing you can do.
Well,
is say if
it
you
may
can.
Not be in your nature to say no.
Right.
So making a suggestion like let's split that responsibility might work better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
I
think it's going to be hard no matter what, because if it is in your nature to step in and be responsible and take on situations where someone is needed, it's just always a challenge to back away from that in some regards and still trust that you will be valuable to the company.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That was why my first decision, was to go with some numbers and say, is there any possibility of a raise or a potential raise coming down the pike or, a promotion? Because when I cover for you, I also don't have the authority. I don't have the title.
Right.
So with that responsibility, if I had the added protection, you know.
Right.
I mean, I think you have to advocate for yourself because you're taking care of everybody else.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you have to start advocating for yourself now.
Yeah, and use resentment as an indicator that...
Oh, that's always good, Catherine. Use your anger and resentment.
Yeah, as a propeller, something that propels you to say, okay, obviously there's some boundaries I need to set here, there's some limits I need to describe, so either I get promoted and a raise, or we figure out a different way to distribute the workload.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or the responsibility load, if you want to call it that.
Right. But to, you know, get upset and not do anything about it is a mistake. You do have to do something about that. And I would be flattered. I think anyone who the boss has a go-to that's saying that you have integrity, you have, you know, a lot of good qualities.
Yeah.
You're a good worker, clearly, and you show up. And so you have a nice future. So it doesn't have to always be there either. Get that title and raise so you can move on with that title, with a new title. So, but, you know, look, it's not a bad thing to be the hero. Mm-hmm. It's really not a bad thing. It's just that heroes tend to not take care of themselves.
Well, right. Some people take advantage of it.
Right.
Now you have these two individuals who are not stepping in or getting comfortable to this person stepping in. And
that's the thing I think is interesting, is that if I were in this person's shoes, I would really start to resent my colleagues for not stepping in. And yet at the same time, you're training them that you'll always do it.
That's right.
Right.
So you have to sort of take responsibility that inadvertently you've taught this to these individuals.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so if you want it to change, you actually do have to speak up. I think that's the big thing, that no matter what, this is about speaking up on your behalf.
That's
when you
say
to advocate.
Communication.
Yeah.
Because either they're comfortable and happy that this person is stepping in, or the both of them are festering and resentful themselves.
Well, that could be happening,
too. Oh, my God, the boss always gives such and such.
Well, that could be happening also.
Right.
That's such an interesting point,
Logan. Could be plotting against you. So be careful with that.
They both text each other, make sure you come in late so she misses her appointment.
Exactly. It could definitely be a little bit of that going on as well.
It could be. You're 100% right. We don't know.
Yeah. So, but also I would say, if you notice that this person mentions missing a doctor's appointment, canceling a doctor's appointment because the others couldn't show up, that too is an indication that something is off balance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to your point, Kathy, if you're a hero, we need to protect you as well and your energy, and make sure you take care of yourself as you're rising up in your career.
Right. So the hero is the stellar worker in the office, but their home life suffers because they put their home life in jeopardy to always be the first person there, the last person there, and the one who's always present and carries the weight.
Right. People usually think you run the organization.
Right. Or they think you have a higher position than you may.
Right. Mm.
So you have to be careful of that. And, you know, and to postpone a doctor's office, that tells me that's probably not the first time.
Right.
That's
how many things have you canceled?
Yes. And how many things have you avoided or not done for your, while your other coworkers are in great health, I'm sure. They probably
up
work
late
out
there
a lot
at the with gym, Starbucks coffee coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They probably had a full night's sleep. They got them, they're covered.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're not suggesting that you become a different person, but, you know, learning to take better care of yourself and advocating and getting others, you know, learning to be, in a way, better manager and getting others to do some of the work.
Right.
You don't always have to be the one who does the work.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what we're saying here to our dear hero is to advocate for yourself. You may want to ask for a raise or a promotion. You may want to establish with the boss, with the rest of the staff, other ways of distributing the responsibilities. You may even want to look into finding a better position for yourself in another place altogether, but it's about speaking up, and in the meantime, focusing on taking care of yourself so that you don't run the hero ragged.
Yeah, that's good. All right, so we're going to take a quick commercial break. And if you have any further comments or thoughts on this topic, please tweet us at AskK2, A-S-K-K, the number 2.
And if you want to get on our email list, you can now text us at 22828 and type in My Crazy Office, all one word. That's 22828, My Crazy Office. And you can also follow us on Instagram at My Crazy Office. We'll be back after the commercial.
Want to be a hot shot in your new job? Do you have a fancy new suit, but you're tired of wearing it to the same old office? Aren't you bored of staring out the window at Starbucks, wondering what happened to your dream career? If you answered yes to any of the above, stop what you're doing and give K-Squared a call. I mean it. K-Squared Executive Coaching will help you accomplish your career objectives and help you navigate the obstacles holding your career hostage. Simply go to our website, ksquaredenterprises.com, to learn more about our executive coaching and how we can help you. Come on, go ahead. You can do it. And now, back to our show.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. We thought we'd spend the second segment of our show talking about what you can do if you feel like you're the only one who does all the work in the office. And I bet a lot of people feel that way, even though it may not be accurate.
Yeah.
I think people feel that way at home and at work and in the family and in a friendship. Yeah. So what do?
You stop the madness.
Bye.
Well, actually, honestly, I think the first thing you need to do is take an inventory of the situation. Like, and we have ours in Working With You Is Killing Me. We have several different forms of that. But basically, what's happening here, you know, what is going on? Is it that I'm doing everyone else's job? Is it that I'm doing my job, but three other people seem to be very lazy? Is it that the boss is never here and no one's managing? At least get a picture of what's going on. Then in our inventory, you'd say, what's their part? That what is the part of the people who aren't doing their work? And what is my part? Which could be that I am taking everything on rather than holding others accountable. And then what are my options? To really look and see what's possible in the situation for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also think there's people that are control freaks. And that they really...
Well, that'd be what's my part, right?
Well, that's true.
If I have to control everything or I take things on because I get too anxious when other people don't do their job.
That, and I think some people take on a lot of work because they feel... If they don't, then they're going to lose their job.
Yes.
This is the same reason why people don't go on vacation, because they're afraid the company will see they don't need them.
Yes.
So I think there's, you know, that kind of anxiety.
Yes.
But I think what we also want, what we really wanted to talk about this segment was the people that really are taking on more work than anybody else, because no one else, you got some lazy coworkers.
Right, which can happen in a variety of settings, would you say?
Yeah, well, it can happen because there are certain very large institutions where people hang out and don't do anything, a lot of government, but... It can happen if people have other things going on in their lives. Maybe someone's going through a divorce, or maybe someone's pregnant. Yeah. I mean, there are times when people's lives where they are somewhat distracted.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think that this is a different kind of a condition. This is just people that are hard workers, and they tend to get the bulk of the work.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. That's what tends to happen for hard workers.
Yeah, it does.
So going back to what we were saying earlier, it seems like the first thing would be to take an inventory, see what's going on here, and then you need to speak up somewhere to someone if it bothers you.
Well, I also think it's not always true. I think sometimes people feel that they're...
As if they're doing all the work.
Right. And then it turns out that somebody was working on a project you didn't know about.
So do you approach the coworkers who you think
I think you
anything?
Have to assess it. I think you really have to, you know, look at, well, what are they doing?
Yeah.
And why am I feeling this way? You know? And you could approach them and say, what are you working on? But I think you have to really be honest with yourself if, in fact, is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because really all you know is what you're doing, and you may be very busy. Maybe what you're doing is more labor intensive, so it's busy work, whereas what someone else is doing maybe is more strategic, so it doesn't look like they're doing it. They're thinking, they're writing. Mm-hmm. What?
They're dreaming. No, actually what I was thinking about is I have a client who is very, very hard worker, and what she notices is that she feels as if the people around her are busy maneuvering politically.
Well, they are. Yeah, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Rather than doing their work.
Right. Well, that is a way to work.
You have to appreciate. So then you'd have to give them credit for that kind of work that they're doing.
That sounds like a very political organization.
Yes.
That's what it requires to work there.
Yeah.
And they just may. Like, I will, you know, whisper in that person's ear today, and I'll make sure this person sees me.
Yeah.
So they do spend a lot of time politicking. Yeah, I believe that. I believe that that's really true. Whereas then your client is doing their work.
That's right.
Yeah. And well, that may be a mistake.
Well, that's the thing that I'm realizing as we're talking about it, is that her belief is that I just keep my head down and do my job, and they should see that.
Right, no.
They'll see it. No. When is that ever?
And then, again, feels some resentment towards those who are, like, hobnobbing with the boss or going out and playing golf or whatever they're doing.
Yeah, that stuff is part of work. I mean, if you're a listener of this podcast, you probably know this already, but we're saying something important, which is, if you think your work speaks for itself, you're in trouble. It doesn't.
And if you think doing other people's work speaks for itself, you're in double
trouble.
It
doesn't. Yeah.
You have to speak up for yourself. So, look, I don't like people that spend all their time politicking, but there's something to learn from them.
Yeah. Sure. Well, and I think the other thing is, the danger is, again, just sitting there and stewing about what they're doing versus what you're doing, rather than kind of getting into the game in some way, right? Mm-hmm. If you want to be visible, and Kathy, you always give, it's such a smart and simple idea, but that whole thing of either bringing food or something, bringing something to the picture that gets you interacting with people in a less business-oriented way, but also builds connection. That may be part of your... Maybe you should be doing less work, picking up the slack of others, and more networking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's... But you have to have a balance. You can't just be networking. The people that just, you know, sort of brown nosers, you know, the people that spend a lot of their time up at each other's, you know, ass, you know, you know what I mean? Those people that are just looking, to just, you know, politic all day long and not work, they ultimately get found out. You have to produce. You also have to produce good work.
Well,
and then you go out and brag about it.
Yeah, that's so assuming that someone's watching. Sometimes there are situations where no one's really keeping track, which is the other suggestion that I was thinking of, which you often would bring in, which is to create some systems of accountability of some kind. So at least you're tracking who's doing what. I mean, if you're part of a team and you think you're doing all the work, you could certainly sit down with that team and say, okay, who's doing what here, and let's get clear about that, at least to get the basic information.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because then if Miss or Mr. Politics says, I'm busy building relationships, you can maybe you say, well, let's see if we can add a little bit more to that plate of yours. You know, let's give you some additional tasks.
I mean, you're not always in the position to do that.
Mm-hmm. No, you'd have to ask, I guess, the team leader if there's someone who's running the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, this is about advocating for yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not so much looking at the others. I have a client who wrote me really late last night that she has somebody in her office that everybody in upper management loves, and she knows this girl is not very good.
Yes. Mm.
And she plagiarizes this girl takes some of her work and says it was hers. So she was in a meeting with somebody. It was a stand-up meeting, and this woman came in and physically pushed her out of the way. And you know, just cut into the conversation. And she, you know, said, what do? I did nothing. And I said, no, next time you go, what's that? Like, you actually have to speak up and say, what's that? We're having a conversation. Either get in line or just wait a minute.
Right.
But she didn't say anything. And then the woman, her boss, didn't say anything. So she was, and this has been going on now for a couple of weeks with this person.
Right.
Ooh,
yeah.
I sense a fight coming on.
Yeah. And there's a big age difference. And my client is more senior and older, and I think she, you know, there's a position open where this young girl is trying to get that position.
So she's in competition with her.
Well, she's not up for that position, but they work together. I think she's in competition with everyone.
Right.
Right.
I have a client who has a very similar situation.
Mm-hmm.
And
all right, we should talk later.
Well, the thing that's interesting is it doesn't really, when someone is like that, we'll say piggy about trying to get all the best assignments and trying to get constantly overload their plate actually for work. It doesn't work to get in a power struggle with someone like that, right? Mm-hmm. It just doesn't, you can't, And my client, who actually has confronted this individual a few times, it never goes well because the competitor sees everything as, you know, potential confrontation, and you're getting in my way and you're trying to tell me what to do.
Right.
And so where my client has had some success is he's basically created a whole new domain that he works on that she can't touch.
Right.
Because that's the only way to keep her hands, her paws off of his workload.
Yeah, smart.
So it's those kinds of situations are really tricky, I think.
Yeah, she recently, the woman who we're talking, my client is head of, she's in marketing, but she's a door opener. And then the woman who's the problem is a low-level marketing person, but the senior marketing person has left. And so this young lady is not a very good writer because English is not her first language. And my client just edited something, and then she overheard this young lady telling the big boss there that she wrote it. Yeah.
Ew.
And she just cut right in and said, "I'm so glad you liked my edits."
Oh, good.
Yeah, I thought that was really good. And she said, "Oh, yes, so-and-so helped me with that, yeah." So she has to keep inserting herself and not allowing this woman.
Well, if there's a lesson that keeps on coming up here, it's about advocating
for yourself.
Yeah. Self-advocacy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this hero thing, I mean, for you listeners out there, really think about it. Are you the hero? Because, again, it's a great thing to be a hero, but it hurts your personal life.
Yeah. Right. And I will also say that you may get angry at some of the things that we say about what you have to do.
Really?
Because we're asking you to rein it in some regards, or to speak up for yourself, or to say no. All those things are going to be very scary. Mm-hmm. And also the part of you that wants things to be fair probably doesn't want to have to do those things. But what we're saying is that the qualities that make you a hero are great. You just need to take care of yourself along the way.
Exactly.
Okay, join us next time for another My Crazy Office podcast. Tweet us your stories to AskK2. Follow us on Instagram, review us on iTunes, and don't forget to send your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.